Hey, it's Stugatz and Stupidity is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. The NBA playoffs are here, and the Woj Pod is the place for news, insight, and big-name interviews. You can find the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity, hosted by the incomparable Stugatz, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stugatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stugatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than, what was it, Stan? White parents?
Nice white parents.
Oh, nice white parents. Not mean white parents. Nice white parents. All right, we'll get them on. I want to speak to those nice white parents and let them know when you book them, we're bigger. We're bigger than everyone. That's what this podcast is. Keyshawn Johnson's going to join us. Are you excited about that? Keyshawn, new morning show. Zubin, Keyshawn, and Jay Williams. We had Zubin on, and now we're going to have Keyshawn on. And by the way, you'll laugh at this. As ESPN was promoting the new morning show that debuted on Monday, they used our interview as a vehicle to allow people to get to know Zubin.
No way.
go ahead. The floor is yours, my friend.
You're kidding. Did they want the unedited version? Should they have asked me? How much time were they looking to fill? We had 70 minutes we could have given them.
I didn't put the whole thing out there, and they probably should have listened or asked you, because I am convinced that you will know less about Zubin after you know our interview with him.
Do you think ESPN PR asked Zubin one question and then they're like, all right, that answer is way too long. Has he done any other media? Let's just use that.
I think that's exactly what happened. He wasn't lying when he said this was 90 minutes long.
He can fill time, that Zubin. We'll see if Keyshawn can get a word in.
Oh, no, Keyshawn, we're going to word it. And if he doesn't, he will grab the words right out of his mouth.
You must love Keyshawn. He's arrogant, and he was a former Jet.
I do love Keyshawn. Quick game before we bring him on, new host of the morning show. He's the star of that show, by the way. Athletes that can own things that you would find in cars. I mean, Keyshawn, Key.
That is quite a stretch.
Jimmy Key.
Oh, my God. It always comes back to Jimmy Key with you.
Little Dom Driver.
How about Derek Carr?
Oh, wow. It's very good.
Yeah.
What parts of a car, though? You know, like if there was a Johnny Muffler out there.
I don't think there is. Rodney Hood.
Wow. I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. Rodney Hood. Look, God, I got to think about this. This is very difficult. Athletes that connote things you would find in a car. I gave you Donald Driver already. Zach Wheeler, wheels up. Michael Jordan, clutch.
Brutal.
Let's bring on, at least for the next 45 minutes, a little secret here, okay? One of my five all-time favorite New York Jets and new host of ESPN's new morning show, the star of the show. Because he wouldn't have it any other way. John Johnson. And he's going to join us here for the next 30, 45 minutes or so. Very much looking forward to it.
Stupidity!
Keyshawn, how's it been going? So Keyshawn is joining us here, Stanzik, after his completion of his third morning show on ESPN Radio. New show, KJZ, 6 to 10 a.m., ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, it's ESPN2 and ESPN News, right?
Yeah, two and news.
Okay, two and news. I maintain, Stanzik, you know this about morning radio, that this will be more harmful and damaging to Keyshawn's health than 10 years in the NFL.
I mean, so three shows in, Keyshawn, how are you feeling? You looked a little bit older today, I got to be honest.
No, I'm good. Actually, I look younger is what I was being told. It's like, what did I do to myself to rejuvenate?
So. He's exhausted. He's lying to you. He's exhausted. I can tell.
Listen, I did it for a year and I quit. And by quit, I almost got out of the entire industry. Stanzik produced a morning show for how long, Stanzik?
Well, I did The Herd with Colin Cowherd for 2 years. I did Mike and Mike for 2 years and Golic and Wingo for a year and a half. So
you're maintaining three shows in. Keyshawn is lying and he is exhausted right now.
Exhausted, yeah. And a little post-show taping today, too, I heard. So,
oh boy, Keyshawn.
yeah, you're in trouble.
You guys are dealing with, you mentioned a bunch of old farts.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you're going to be one of those one day, though, man. I promise you, soon.
Yeah, but by Friday. By the time I get to be their age, I'll be far out of a radio.
Keyshawn Johnson with us here on Stupidity. Again, check out his new show, KJZ, 6 to 10 a.m. Zubin Mehenti, who's been on this podcast, Jay Williams, who will be on this podcast, and Keyshawn Johnson as well, doing a great job early on, by the way, three shows in. 6 to 10 a.m., ESPN2, ESPN News, and ESPN Radio. How do you guys feel like you're doing thus far? Like, how do you – the chemistry, all that stuff, like, how do you feel it's going so far?
I think the chemistry is great, to be honest with you. I have no idea what people, when they say chemistry, what they even mean by that. Because at the end of the day, it's all about – who you working with is and who you like to work with. If you're comfortable with those individuals, you're gonna flow. And I keep hearing, oh, the hardest thing is you didn't get a chance to meet those guys. I'm like, dude, so what? I didn't meet my quarterback when the first time I touched the field either, and I bombed your ass. So, you know, it's just one of those deals where I didn't know, you know, 4 years ago, obviously I did some sort of radio during my playing days. Like, I had like little fake radio shows in a mall that was produced and made some money, you know, stuff like that. Then 4 years ago, I went out to LA back home and I took the job of ESPN 710 morning show. And I didn't know George Sedano and LZ Grandison. And I thought we did a good job. And we did pretty good. Then Travis Rogers took over for George. George went and did his own deal. And Travis Rogers, I didn't do anything with, and I thought we flowed and we had a great time and we rolled it up, rolled our sleeves up and dug deep and conquered the Los Angeles marketplace. And now, you know, I take over this big time property, ESPN property, which I think is, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, Stu, is in terms of radio, sports radio, this particular position and this particular property is by far the best in sports talk radio.
Keyshawn, here's just to answer that quickly. I would tell you in terms, first off, Keyshawn's right. He's done radio. He did it locally 4 years. That's why I was happy for Keyshawn to get this job. Keyshawn just didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I want to do radio. This has been earned by Keyshawn Johnson. And then, yes, unequivocally, I would tell you that 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern ESPN Radio, I don't even think there's a debate. Stanzik, you would say that's the biggest platform, biggest piece of real estate that we have in sports radio, correct?
Absolutely. No questions asked.
Yeah, and it's yours, kid.
And the only reason why I asked that, because I'm not 100% sure, it may be some little rinky-dink station out there who, you know, drives home more, because you know how I am, man. I don't care about my competition. I don't care. That stuff doesn't mean anything to me. What matters is that, you know, that little green – bluish little pay stub that they give you and that little Mickey in the top right corner. That's what matters to me. The people that make that decision, that's all that matters. If they feel it's a good show and it's doing well, hey, then I'm rolling. I'm trying to learn every single day, trying to get better and better and better. And the chemistry is going to get better and better. And little things will start to pop up more and more and more over time. I mean, this is the first time in a morning show hour that first time for ESPN that you're taking callers. We're interacting with the fan base and the listeners. See, all of that sort of stuff is extremely important to me.
And you make a great point about chemistry, because who was your quarterback for the Jets in 98-99? Was it Vinny?
Vinny took over in 98 And then he started in 99. He got tore his Achilles. And then I had anyone from Tom Tupa to Rick Meyer to Ray Lucas. I think those were the three in 99.
Now, Tupa, people don't know this. Stanza Tupa was also the punter. that's how bad it got. But, Keyshawn, it's a great point about chemistry because for one glorious year, I thought my team might get to the Super Bowl in large part because of you. And you had no chemistry with Vinny Testaverde, and you probably had the best season you ever had as a pro, right?
I would say from a just – yeah, I would probably say I had – that was probably one of my better – yeah. I mean, it just depends. I don't really go by statistics, but right. Just pure flow, I would probably say it was Vinny that year, AFC championship year, because we were just hitting and clicking on all cylinders when, quite honestly, we were not supposed to, according to the masses.
Correct. Yep. I thought you were going to the Super Bowl. Did you guys have a 10-0 lead at halftime or 10-3 against Denver that year?
It was 10-0 going into half and coming out, that thing disappeared like ice on hot water.
You can blame my friend Brian Tomeo because we're all watching the game together. We're a tortured group, Jet fans, Keyshawn. And we all told them, we're up 10-0. Anyone even mentions the word Super Bowl, okay, you're banned from the crew. Because we really thought, like, anyone mentions it, we told them second half, there are two words, don't say it. Not only did he mention them, he went to a payphone at the time, 97, he had to go to a payphone. He called a ticket broker and bought a pair of tickets to the Super Bowl thinking the Jets were going. I don't blame you, I blame Tomia. How about that?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that's the jinxer. When I went to the Super Bowl and won when I was in Tampa, Philadelphia Eagles beat us earlier that year in a regular season. And maybe 3 weeks later, maybe it was shorter than that, maybe it was 2 weeks later, we went back to Philly to see them for the NFC Championship game. So they automatically assumed we were toast. So what they did was the craziest thing in the world, Stu, is they started advanced their scouting and everything to go down to San Diego. They took their trucks with all their equipment and just everything because they had already made up their mind that they was going to wax us in the NFC Championship game and going to the Super Bowl. Guess what they had to do? The truck was, I believe, in New Mexico from Philly. They had to turn around when the game was over and drive all the way back.
It's a great feeling. That's a great feeling. Stanzi texted me a great question. It didn't even dawn on me. You absolutely negotiated your name first on the new morning show, correct? Like it had to be. You're the star of that show, and you negotiated it. Or did you have to?
If I got to negotiate my name,
right.
Then how the hell I'm gonna be a star or something?
But you are the. We all acknowledge you are the star of that show, correct?
I'm probably the. I put it this way. I'm probably the guy with the most professional accolades as an athlete. Let's say that.
That's right. A yes.
Right.
I gave you a political answer.
it's you, Zubin, and Jay. I mean.
I just kind of, I go with the flow, man. My name could have been last and I would have felt good.
No, you wouldn't have.
See, I knew you was going to say that. You don't believe that. That's typical, though. You everyone thinks it. Like, in all seriousness, I would have been fine. If my name would have been last, I'd have been like, oh, okay, cool, no problem. I mean, not I'd have been like, oh, not a big deal.
Key, what if it was the Zubin Mehenti show with Jay and Key?
Yeah, there you go.
Then I would be like, oh, okay, they're trying to have Zubin drive the bus and run it all, and then we chime in here and there. That's all. I would just be like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. They must know what they're doing.
Stanzik, I maintain if he walks in tomorrow and the new name of the show is not KJZ, it's ZJK, that Keyshawn will take a flamethrower to that place. That's how I
No, man, I'm serious. Like, look, put it this way. I never was worried about whether or not my name was going to be at the top. Let's just say that. It wasn't on high priority on my list.
Because you knew it was going to happen. That's all I was trying to get to. KJZ, Keyshawn J. Will, Zubin Mehenti, 6 to 10 a.m. on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, ESPN News. It is the most coveted piece of real estate in sports radio. And Keyshawn is with us here on Stupidity. I am very happy for you. You want to tell Stanzik what happened? You and I have been talking. I don't know. Listen, I'll let you set it up and tell Stanzik and tell the audience what has happened here between you and I over the last couple of weeks. Because Keyshawn's already frustrated with me, Stanzik, because I forgot earlier this week that we were supposed to do an interview. And then he was going out something yesterday. And Keyshawn, and he shared a text I sent with him. I sent to him. He shared it with Sedano. So Keyshawn is really good at this radio game. But Keyshawn, go ahead. Have at it. Make fun of me. Mock me. Do whatever you want.
No. So originally, when I first took the job or leaked or whatever the hell happened, Stu's asked me, text me, and he asked me to come on his podcast. And at the time, when things settled down, whatever the case is, I'm like, okay, cool. And at the same time, he was having some issues with his daughter and some things that was going on in her life. And so I just told him, you know what, deal with that. You know, if she needs backup, Uncle Key is here. I got it. I'll handle it. You just sit tight. So that went by, whatever. Then I get the call, grads on the show, man, you guys are going to rock, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, cool. When are you ready to do this? So he's asking me about New York. And then he asked me what was the, what's been going on in New York. And I told him, I said, man, the one thing out of everything that I'm going to curse here, I f-ing hate about New York. And he's like, what's that? I said, you're not going to believe what happened. So I went on to explain to him, I'm driving with my kids and my wife in the car. And there's a car behind me. And, it's fine. It's New York. It's a lot of cars. They're all behind you. How long do you think it takes for a light to change at a signal light and for you to push the accelerator and go? It usually, it usually takes you, 3 seconds, 4 seconds.
Yeah.
The light changed green and some dude laid on the horn. I hadn't even got a chance to put my foot on the gas. He laid on the horn. So my wife is from here, and she goes, see, this is why I hate this place. And I'm like, yes, this is why. So I pursued to just kind of let the dude go around me. He's speeds around me. And now when he's speeding around me, you think he's getting ready to go like 5 miles in front of me. The next block, so I pull up to the next block. He's sitting at the same place that he would have been sitting if he'd have set his ass behind me. You did all that for what? To blow a horn? For what reason? Just impatient. That's the one thing. Just so impatient to go nowhere.
We're all, in New York. We're all in a race to nowhere, Key.
but seriously, y'all, think about it. He went not even a half a block.
I know.
It was like where are you going, dude? We at the same spot. I took my sweet little time. You did about 80 miles an hour just to get a half a car length.
Right.
And it's like, seriously. So then, we had a time to go on the call on Monday after the first show, and I'm waiting on the call, and he's interrupting my sleep by not calling me because I'm trying to wait patiently. He doesn't call, and then he finally texts me, and I'm like, dude. No, he texts me the next day.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can we do it? And I'm like, you were supposed to text me yesterday. Like, you're killing me. Like, what, you think I'm just going to stand on call? But I'm going to do it because I committed to doing it. But in the future, we got to get his iPhone or something and put it in his calendar.
Yeah, you're right. Keyshawn's totally fair. I'm unorganized, man. I need a personal assistant. Sansa, let's get on that, okay? Like, Keyshawn, you got like 5 personal assistants, right? I mean, you must.
No, man. Believe it or not, I handle all my own everything. I don't rely on anybody. I relied on too many people throughout my life. So now I need to be an adult.
So what do you think? By the way, that never happened to you in L.A.? Because I used to wonder that all the time when I was in New York. Well, I moved down to South Florida. I moved back up to New York. And I spent the entire year I was back up in New York wondering why I left South Florida. Because city living, New York living is difficult, man. I'm telling you. The entire city is in a race to the next red light. Like, do you have a theory on that? That guy just wanted to lean on the horn, and the expectation in New York is, hey, that thing turns green, I don't care if you're going 1 foot or 100 yards or 100 miles. Hit the f-ing gas and let's go. Move on. I hate that.
But you're not going anywhere.
I know.
And that doesn't happen in L.A. And the reason it won't happen in L.A. is because you get shot in your face. Okay. Believe it or not. Road rage in L.A. is a different beast. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I told my wife when she moved to L.A. We were somewhere, and she was screaming. And I said, Jen, do you not understand? They will shoot you in your face out here. What are you doing? Because that's the way she was. I mean, you know, she was that New York in a go. Everything's in a go. Fast, speedy, Gonzalez. And I had to tell her, I said, we take it easy, man. We cool. It's like we calm, we cool, we chill. We'll get there. It's not going anywhere. It isn't at all. So she learned over her 13 years in L.A., she learned that the patience is a must.
Yeah, I mean, getting shot in the face is a whole different ballgame. You might want to put your foot on the gas.
And if you remember, there was a ring of a rash of shootings, highway rage, because people just get out of control and other people don't like it, and they just pull out their peacemaker and go to work.
Man, crazy. Keyshawn Johnson with us here on Stupidity. Check out the new show KJZ 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. ESPN Radio, ESPN2, ESPN News, Zubin Mahente, Jay Williams, Keyshawn Johnson. We told Zubin, by the way, and I wonder if this has happened, if he passes you the ball, he ain't getting it back. So be careful. Has he noticed that yet?
Well, you know, the thing with him, he gets it. He understands his position and his role and what he's there to make us, you know, click and everybody. We all kind of just – share everything together, to be honest with you. It's not a microphone hog. I don't feel like I'm in an option offense from Georgia Tech or Army or Nebraska, and I'm playing receiver and I get one opportunity a game. I feel like when it's right, he brings it, we deliver, we give it back to him, he gets us in and out of our breaks. I just feel like, you know, I call him the Sports Center accountant. based on his uniform, his sweater and his shirt, with the long sleeve shirt with the sweater over the top, and his Sports Center anchor voice, which is all killer. Every time I'm he's listening great. To him, it feel like I'm watching Sports Center.
Yeah, he's great. He's unbelievable.
Very, very smart and obviously prepared to a whole nother level. I mean, it's just, you know, I worked with the great Boomer, not Boomer Esiason, Chris Berman, I'm speaking of.
Yeah.
And, you know, I worked with him, obviously, with Countdown for many years. And now I have an opportunity to work with Z. I work with Steve Levy. Those guys' preparation is different. They're just, their preparation is different. Working with Neil and Stan Verrett and the late Stu, it's just one of those deals where, for whatever reason, those guys that did that Sports Center stuff, they're buttoned up.
Yep. Yeah, they're polished. They're really, really good. By the way, this Uncle Keyshawn thing that you and I have developed here, where you're going to protect my daughters. And by the way, Key, I will tell you, I can't divulge too much information. One of them is a big-time lacrosse player, and USC is on her very short list. So you and I might have, you know, something in common here sooner than later with her going out to your neck of the woods, University of Southern California. I will keep you posted. But that was the one that was also having boyfriend issues. So is this Uncle Key character a thing that we could develop both here on Stupidity and in real life? Because I would like to do that, if possible. You as a protector of my kids.
Certainly. Yes. I got her back, certainly. And if she decides that the University of Southern California is her next educational stop, once a Trojan, always a Trojan. You can only be a Hurricane for 4 years. So, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. You go to any other university, it's only 4 years. You go to Trojan land, you're Trojan for life. So we got you.
All right. Good.
Hey, Key, speaking of Uncle Keyshawn, are you aware of how Stu Gotts describes your nephew, Michael Thomas?
No, how does he describe you? I'm not.
Go ahead, Stu.
So, Keyshawn, I said on our show one day, not only is Michael Thomas a great receiver, but he looks like a guy who is just great at sex. Like, if
rated what?
I didn't know you guys were related, but it looks like it'd be impossible for Michael Thomas not to be good in bed. That's all I said one day. That's it.
Oh, well, I mean,
Who's laughing in there? Is that your wife laughing?
Hey, if you roll that way, I got a few friends that, you know. I got a few friends that, you know, they may be interested. I don't know. I could ask them.
I'm just saying it looks like it'd be impossible for him not to be good at that. Something I'm terrible at.
What are you looking at? His body?
Was that? Yeah.
What are you looking at? His body?
I am looking at his body. Yeah, I'm looking at his body, essentially, is what I'm looking at, yes.
If you had saw Mikey's body in junior high or high school,
right,
there would be no way that you would ever think that he would look the way he looks now. It's incredible. But I saw it, obviously, from the ground up.
Right.
and so his worth ethic is ridiculous. Like it's like if I had his dedication and worth ethic when I played, right, I might still be playing. And there's something to be said for a guy who, you know, he eats it. I mean, he eats, breathes the football. I mean, I did to a degree. There's no question about it. You don't get to certain levels without doing those sort of things. But I'm telling you, man, he wanted it. He wanted it in the worst way. I mean, and he's still, you know, breaking records and all pros and everything and still eating it the way that, you know, you would think a guy's supposed to, opposed to kicking back and saying, you know what, I made it, I'm good. Not at all with him. Not even close.
All right. Keyshawn, John, I love your wife laughing at me in the car there. It's hysterical. Keyshawn, I'm going to get you out of here in a couple of minutes because I know you guys are busy and you're looking for houses. I have a few fill-in-the-blanks at the end here because I want the audience to get to know a bit about you in the event that they don't. But I am wondering, Keyshawn, if you had the right now, Keyshawn, right this second, if you were 18 years old and you had the same offer now that you had from USC when you were actually 18 years old, would a Keyshawn Johnson today be willing to go play college football?
I would be willing to go play college football with the information from the doctors that everything would be okay. Does that sound good or does that sound like a party line?
No, that sounds – so you would just need assurances from not your coach –
No, man, damn the coach, man. I'm not listening to no damn coach. I know what his goal is. His goal is to get me on the field.
Right.
I want to hear information from people that wear those long white trench coats with those pins behind their ears and pins in their pocket, with glasses on, with a lot of gray hair on the side. I want to listen to those guys.
Right. I mean, we should probably all be listening to those guys, right? Like, what are we doing?
I don't want to be listening to no damn politicians. I don't want to be listening to no coaches, yeah, no physical trainers. I want to listen to the guys that say no and yes. I don't want to hear no maybes, it could be's. I am not with that. I am not. I've never been that way. Even when guys continue to play that get crazy injuries, all I need the doctor to do is tell me one time, maybe you might be okay. You know what? Never mind. I'm good. The maybe I'm going to be okay. Nah, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't play with my health.
I love that answer. What I tell my kids is that guy on the television screen, he's not your governor, especially down here in Florida, where I mean, it is the hotbed of COVID. I said, your governor is right here in this house. It's me. I am your governor. I'll tell you when it's safe to go to the beach. And now that I'm thinking about it, Keyshawn, you might be their governor, right? Your Uncle Key. And so they'll do whatever you tell them to do, okay?
Well, you know, look, at the end of the day, everybody has a position that they want to play, whether it's political or whatever the case is. I don't really get caught up in the political nonsense that's going on in our country as a whole because it just, you know, I feel there's bigger things like pushing – for people to get out to vote, those sort of things is really more where I'm at. I don't, because if I can control, or not control, but if I can be a part of that, everything else will take care of itself. Not just from a federal standpoint, but also from a local standpoint. You got to make sure that people are voting the right people in and not just crossing, checking boxes and going on about their business. That's how I deal with that sort of stuff. And then when it comes time to the foot of beaches and they're opening up, and I understand. You know, it's like college football. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 said no. But you got the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 still trying to push. I'm listening to the people in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, because clearly the people that they're listening to have told them, why don't we sit tight for a little bit? They, you know, obviously their doctors and their scientists and their medical staff and the CDC is telling them something totally different. Right. And then I look at the regional of the country and parts of the country, you know, it's a different animal in the southern part of the country than it is anywhere else.
Yeah. Keyshawn, that's such a great point, because I think everyone is mad at the Big Ten and the Pac-12, where no, they're going against what the public wants them to do, but we all know that they're doing the right thing. We shouldn't be celebrating the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12. We should be celebrating the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and that is a take I'm going to steal and use on tomorrow's show. How about that, Key?
Well, look, think about it, though. Think about it. It's
you're right.
What if, and this is knock on wood, but what if something happens to somebody, not even necessarily a student, one of the members around the team, and something happens catastrophic to that individual, what are you going to say to the individual family? Oh, we wanted to kick off at noon, but we couldn't because we had to delay because we had to go to the hospital. You want to say, is that what you want to do?
Right.
I mean, I get it. I know what it is. And the amateur status, trying to get these kids to play, but you don't want to pay them money, where the pros are playing because they're getting their money and they're in bubbles and things of that nature. I understand that. But you don't – it's not like all of a sudden you're creating jobs because you're not filling up the stadium, so the parking attendants aren't going to be there. The concession stands aren't going to be there. It just amazes me. That's all. I don't know. I don't get it.
Stupidity!
The NBA, because you're coming from L.A., so the Clippers, Lakers, obviously a big deal. I was making the argument today. I applaud the players. I know they're giving max effort. But when you have Jason Tatum come out after the game and say, this felt closer to a playoff game than I thought it would, he's still saying it doesn't feel like the playoffs. Does this feel like the NBA playoffs to you? Neutral courts, no crowds? Because for me, part of being an NBA champion is having to go on the road and win a big game six in front of 30,000 screaming fans, and the NBA players have been stripped of that opportunity. What does this feel like to you all?
I like the intensity of it, but I'm a fan, and I like the intensity of it, but I also understand what LBJ is saying, because when you clinched early and you kind of sitting on the sideline in those last several games and Portland is pushing ahead to try to get in, they have momentum on their side. We kind of, and I say we because I'm a Laker guy, is kind of just, you know, we're just kind of sitting tight. And then all of a sudden, we're looking for that extra gear, that extra ump to get us going. And it wasn't there in the crowd. I don't think that game two is going to be that way. I think game two, you woke up now. Now you woke.
Right. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, for me it feels a little bit weird. But plus, you know, Portland had enough time to get Nurkic back. Like, he's the third best player. I mean, it's just like the whole – and you're never afforded that time without the break. All right, Keyshawn, so fill in the blank. We appreciate your time. Gracious with your time. KJZ, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, New Morning Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, ESPN News. The star of the show, Keyshawn Johnson, with us. Sorry to Jay and Zubin.
No, I'm not a star. I'm just the guy who's with them. We all together. It's one big star.
All right. My bad. My apologies to Zubin and Jay Williams. And you can thank me off air for calling you the star. Anyway, best player Keyshawn Johnson ever played with was blank.
Derrick Brooks.
Well, I didn't even hesitate. You played with Sapp, man. I mean,
Derrick Brooks.
Okay. Not Tom Tupo.
Sapp was a Hall of Famer in dynamic. But I just felt like Derrick Brooks brought it every single game. That's just me. Okay. I like Sapp. I'd play with Sapp. There's not many DTs that I would even consider in Sapp's level, but Derrick Brooks by far. From the captain to just, I mean, Bo was something else, man. He was one of my all-time favorites as a pro and in college.
All right. How about craziest teammate you ever had?
Brian Cox.
I love that there's no hesitation with you, man. Do you have a specific story? Like, is there
We playing the Denver Broncos.
There we go.
And this was – let me see. We lost in 98. We're playing them in 99. Right. We're running it back in 99. And – or maybe it was 90. Maybe it was the AFC Championship game. Whatever. But we're playing them, right? Mm-hmm. And B. Cox, I catch a pass. I get tackled, short of the first down. Romanowski is over the top of me being Romanowski. And I like, kind of kick my foot to push him up off of me. Like, you better get your ass up off of me. And B. Cox is on our sideline, so we're going on to punt the football. He's on the punt unit. He's passing next to Romanowski. He cursed him out and told him, you and your wife going to jail smuggling drugs. And remember, Romanowski had that problem where shipping things in the mail or something like that.
Yep.
Oh, man, that was – and I'm young at this time, right? I'm 3 years maybe – I think I was 3 years in the league. So I was like, oh, shit. I was like, B. Cox crazy. Then another one, we up in Buffalo playing the Bills, and I'm standing next to B. Cox, and it wasn't snowing. It was just cold. And I thought it was hail. It was frozen batteries being thrown at us that hit me in the helmet. And Brian turned around, picked up one of the batteries, and threw it back at the fans.
I love that.
B. Cox was legit.
Man,
he told me one time I wasn't getting the football. He told me he was going to whoop my ass if I didn't tell the damn coaches to get me the effing ball.
Is he responsible for throwing me the damn football?
No, he wasn't there then. He came later, but he was always one of those guys that wanted me to contribute, and the only way I was going to be able to contribute is by getting a rock. And so he felt like if they wasn't giving me the ball, then the offense was going to stall at times, and he wasn't having it. As a player, dude, that was like one of my favorites.
All right, Stanza, get him on the podcast. Thing you are proudest of is blank, Keyshawn. The thing you are proudest of.
Graduating from USC.
Attaboy.
Getting my degree and being the first of my family, going to college, the youngest, and then I also, you know, graduating from USC and doing it the way I wanted to do it, you know, and just, so that there, they can never, you know, you can never take that from me. One of the things that I have up on my Twitter page is you know, the caption at the top, you see my degree displayed in the frame. You see me in a Jet jersey. You see me in a USC jersey, because those were all three. But the getting that degree was something special.
I love
because
that
people
answer.
Didn't anticipate an inner city kid coming from South Central LA going to USC as the number one pick overall was going to walk away with a degree. They just assumed, oh, he's going to be a football player. He's going to care about his degree. You know, they thought I would be one of those. Shame on them.
Key, that's the perfect answer, my man. And it also just dawned on me that, listen, me and Stanzik this year are putting a push on. Stanzik, it just dawned on me, USC can help out here. Keyshawn could, because I'm certain he agrees. We are making a serious push. Tony Baselli has become a very, very good friend of mine. Him and his family, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Keyshawn, we are going to make a push to get Baselli in the Hall of Fame. Are you in with us? Are you on our team?
Absolutely. Tebow belongs in the Hall of Fame. Tebow actually helped me. He taught me how to block. I played with him. I came from junior college my junior year, or sophomore year, better yet, which was his senior year. And, you know, he taught me how to stay on the blocks, move my feet, drive my feet, and dominate guys to the ground. Because I remember when he whooped Daryl Gardner's ass when Daryl Gardner was playing for Baylor. We played Baylor on a Saturday night. And Daryl Gardner was like, oh, he's overrated. He's this. I was like, I don't know why that dude did that. And you talk about just ass kicking. It was, you go back in the film room, and that's one of them films that you still showing to this day.
Amazing. All right, three quick ones. We get you out of here. A talent that people would be surprised that Keyshawn Johnson has. A talent, a hidden talent.
Cook.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, Chef Key.
Chefing it up.
Yeah, I like that. What's your go-to meal? What are you cooking?
to be honest with you, I really don't have a go-to. Stu, what do you want is the question, you know, right? That's what it is. It's not a go-to. It's a what do you want? And I tell this to people all the time. I can walk into your pantry right now and however many people in your household, and I can put a meal together that will feed your entire family, and you would think you came from a five-star restaurant.
My God. Wow. Just for 1 minute, I'd like to know.
Ask Sedano's. George knows.
I will ask him, and then, you know, when you get settled in and eventually you make a trip down to Florida, I'm going to invite you over, or we'll come over. I'm inviting myself to your house, and you'll cook.
You're welcome. Environment. The door is open.
I appreciate it. All right, so we talked about the thing you're proudest of. Your biggest regret is blank.
My biggest regret.
If you have any, you might not have any.
I wouldn't necessarily say regret because I eventually got a ring, but I would have loved to have been a member of the 1998 Super Bowl New York Jets champions. Yes, that's what I would have loved. We were right there kicking on the door, and we kind of let that one slip out of our hands. But I would love to have brought New York a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wish you had, Keyshawn. I'm miserable. All right, last two. What concert you've been to that would surprise us is blank.
Rolling Stones, The Who. Led Zeppelin, or whatever, however you say it. Yeah. And I bet you wouldn't know where all three of those concerts were from.
No, when? Where?
College.
Yeah.
I'm trying to fit in with the sorority girls, man.
I like Mick Jagger.
And they like, hey, you want to go to a Rolling Stone concert with us? Absolutely. You want to go see The Who? Yes. I have no idea who they are, but I'm going.
Rachel's totally stands are going to ask someone on the football team to go see Eddie Vedder or Pearl Jam. Oh, God. All right. Last one, Keyshawn, you're out of here. A song that Keyshawn Johnson will sing out loud in his car every time he hears it is blank.
Oh, God. A song? Or maybe an artist. I would say anything Tupac, I'm going to sing out loud. California Love, All Eyes on Me. I mean, I used to play those songs religiously, driving to the games on Sundays, just religiously. Listen, that was my go-to.
All right. And a great question here by Stanzik. The former coach of yours that you were going to quote the most on your new radio show, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern ESPN Radio, the coach that you played for that you're going to quote the most is blank.
Bill Parcells.
That's easy, right? Key, good luck with the show, man. Good luck in New York. You're going to be great. You are great. Check it out. KJZ, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, ESPN2, ESPN News, and, of course, Coast to Coast on ESPN Radio. I hope we can do this again sometime soon, man. I appreciate you.
Anytime. Just make sure you call me.
And listen, feel free to have me on your morning show once in a while, okay?
We're going to dial you in. Don't worry.
Stupidity!
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.